I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a question for you. What do you do when worry and disappointment and fear come sneaking in? And how are you managing to process the news, the social media, and the amped up, you know, tempers that we're seeing today? Well, my guest today says this, we're meant for more than this. We are meant to experience a life of wonder, a delight that comes straight from Jesus and shines in and through us regardless of circumstances, regardless of the news around us, and regardless of our very real personal trials. That's the joy that Jesus offers, and it's what the angels sang about. So no matter what time of year it is, it's always time for joy. Shanti Feldhahn joins me today to talk about her brand new devotional, Find Joy, a devotional journey to unshakable wonder in an uncertain world. We're going to get her on in just a moment, but I got a big, huge announcement for you. Today, we are launching the great giveaway, which will take place on my birthday, December 18th. We've done this off and on over the last 15 years, and it's always the most amazing thing. What we're asking you is to engage in some random acts of kindness between now and December 18th. And what's sort of fun is if you go on our website, myfaithradio.com, right on the homepage, you can say, hey, I am in, and we'll send you a really pretty little Christmas card that just you kind of put in your gift basket or whatever random act you're going to do. Maybe put it with a Target gift card or something like that. Give it to a homeless person or go to a neighbor who's a shut-in. Bring them a basket of goodies. You stick that little card in there. It just says something like someone's been thinking about you. You're loved. You're seen. And Faith Radio is doing a great giveaway, and I wanted to be part of it. I hope this gift blesses you. So as you say, I'm in, we'll send you that card. And I need to ask if you can request multiple cards in case you want to engage in multiple acts of kindness. Scripture says, let your light shine before others, that others may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So on December 18th, on all three shows, the morning show, my show, and Bill's show, we're going to take calls, and you're going to kind of come back from the mission field and say, wait till you hear what happened. And you might feel like you're bragging on yourself, and I'm not asking you to do that. You can stay anonymous if you want. But we want to hear, and I want you to know, when we've done these in the past, we can't get to all the calls. And people say they pull over to the side of the road, and they're weeping because in the time of such so much bad news, they imagine all this mobilization happening, all these people engaging in random acts of kindness. We'll pick a couple, two or three of our favorite stories, and you get a big gift basket full of Christmas goodies. I'm so excited about it. So you'll hear more about that in the days ahead, but today it launches. December 18th is our big day to call in. Find more information on the web at myfaithradio.com. I'm super excited about it. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Shanti Feldhahn is a former Wall Street analyst who unexpectedly became a social researcher and best-selling author. Shanti's books have sold 3 million copies in 25 languages. She lives in Atlanta with her husband and two teenagers, and I consider her a friend. Shanti, great to talk with you today.
It's always so good to be with you, Susie.
Looking so forward to this, and I can't wait to dig in. But you know, because you've been on the show before, we love to start by talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been thinking about these days.
I have been. You know, it's when the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens, that has really been speaking to me lately. Because you know how I do all this stuff on relationship research. I know you know that because mm-hmm. I've talked about that many times on your show. And how much I've just seen how much of that is really about bearing one another's burdens, because we all have, and even in a day like today, a season like this season where there's just so much turmoil and division, it's really about getting to know one another and understanding what is on somebody's heart. You know, what is hurting them? What's burdening them? You may not agree with it, but that's still what we're called to do.
Very good. You know, and I forgot to mention, folks, that we've got four copies of Shanti's gorgeous, heavy, hardcover devotional, and it's titled Find Joy, A Devotional Journey to Unshakable Wonder in an Uncertain World. And she mentions Christmas at the beginning of the book, that kind of wonder should be ours all year long, but the cover reminds me of springtime. So I feel like to read this now and recapture the wonder of the holidays and carry it through to springtime. It's a gorgeous book, and if you want in on the drawing, it's one of those, it's a $22 book because it's heavy, it's colorful, and it's beautiful. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So you open your book with this statement. I loved it. You said, for a few precious weeks in December, real life holds its breath, and a sense of heavenly glory invades the world. It is the presence of joy, deep, expansive wonder. We celebrate Jesus coming to earth. We celebrate something that can never be taken away from those who follow him. We are and will be living in the presence of our Savior forever. Wow, I love that so much. I can't even tell you. Say a bit more about just the inspiration behind this book.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with quoting that, because somewhere along the way, I realized that we've got a model, right? You know, when the angels erupted into the air and announced the birth of Jesus and said, you know, I've come to bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. They weren't just saying that the news of Jesus's birth is going to cause great joy. They were saying Jesus has come to bring us joy. And you know, that Christmas feeling that we get now, I know that sometimes Christmas is a hard season for some, but in general, most of us, we do have that feeling of joy and delight in that time. It's unearthly. And realizing that that is how God expects us and wants us to be able to live all year, every day, to have that sense of that the kingdom is here with us. That is a precious, precious gift that he's given us. And all too often, we live in stress and anxiety and worry and all of that instead, which is so understandable. I do that too. But I just felt this calling to really challenge us to grasp for that promise that he's given us.
And it's a supernatural beholding, and we have something to do with that process. I mean, you think we are more spiritual than we are physical, and there are spiritual realities all around us. But we're the ones who tend to look down and become very earthbound. And that's not condemnation. It's just the gravity and the weight of the world tends to pull us down. But that's why we need to look up, isn't it?
Totally. Well, and I mean, candidly, I wrote this book in 2019. And we had picked October of 2020 as the release of this book, we had no idea what a crazy year we would have been coming through, and just how much our gaze has been pulled down, as you put it, by everything that we've gone through this year. And yet it's so crucial for not just everybody listening, but for me to really grasp that this is this promise and this calling, this challenge that God has given us, that joy is supposed to be the characteristic of the Christian. It's supposed to characterize us. And it's so easy, you know, when the pandemic shut everything down and all of our speaking engagements got canceled, I know you know what that felt like.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what we felt like too. And every speaking engagement gets canceled and, two-thirds of our income just went away. That's interesting. How are we going to pay the mortgage or pay the staff or whatever? And yet, it doesn't matter. Our joy is not supposed to be dependent on our circumstances.
Well, one thing I know about you, Shanti, is you don't write about anything without first researching. So I know there's some scientific research behind joy. This isn't just a happy clappy book. This is a research book. I mean, you do your homework. So what did you learn that maybe surprised you?
Well, one of the things that really, it didn't surprise me in that way because I've been doing this research now for quite a few years. But one of the things that is really surprising in general is that practicing gratitude has a way of not just changing our feelings, it changes our brain. I mean, one of the things that we found when we were doing the research on how do you find joy? Like, what does that actually look like to pursue that, to grasp after that? And we found that neuroscience and neurobiology, it backs up what scripture has said all along. And one of the things that is that element is that a sense of, okay, I might have no speaking engagements and not sure how our income is going to work, but what can I be grateful for? And actually pursuing that, like the other night, I was sitting out at a fire pit with some friends, roasting s'mores and going, it's a Saturday night and I'm sitting around a campfire with friends. Like I never get to do that on a Saturday night. I'm always at some women's event or some marriage event. And I miss my friends. And Lord, thank you that, yeah, even though the income situation is a little bit tricky, this is something I can be grateful for. And it changes the feeling from stress to joy. And there's a good neuroscientific reasons for that.
And friends, it's a good time to remind you, recently we did a live stream event with Dr. Troy Spurl on the power of a grateful life and looked at some of that neuroscience and the physiological impact of choosing a grateful heart. And if you've not seen it, you've got to go see it. It'll be up on our website for another week and a half or so, myfaithradio.com. I just woke up with a fresh revelation of God's goodness. One of the things he said as a doctor, he said, is that you really don't receive the physiological benefits of gratitude unless these two things happen. You attach the gift to the giver, and then you receive the gift. So in other words, let's say God, you know, who gives us new mercies every morning. He does good, good things for us. If we just amass gifts and blessings and go, these are mine, I'm counting them all, that does a little something. But if we attach it to the character of God to say, I have a Father who gives me good gifts, it suddenly grounds mm-hmm. us in a sense of security and a Father who loves us. And if we receive wholeheartedly, rather than getting rid of all those berating thoughts of unworthiness, to say, I'm going to full receive this thing. That's when you have the physiological explosion of all these feel-good hormones. I just think that's profound, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's so profound. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Because even the act, for example, of doing for others and being grateful for what you have in that process, even that they found, it actually lowers blood pressure. It dilates the blood vessels. It makes your heart rate drop. It, all of these things that God knows, this is how he's created us. It's just we tend not to do that stuff. We tend not to live that way because it's really easy to focus on the bad things.
Yeah, so true. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about this. You said that though we want to feel joy, peace, and delight, we're not always practicing, hear that, friends, practicing daily habits that lead to such things. So what might that look like? Are you ready for a shift and a change? Maybe this is a test for us, right? I think it absolutely is. I do believe the nation is shaking. I believe God is purifying the church. And this is a test of our hearts. What will you do with this time? How will you leverage it? Will you find things for which to be grateful for? Will you find your joy space in this time of great crisis? Because people are not going to ask about the hope within you unless they see hope on you, right? We've got four copies of this incredible, hardcover, gorgeous devotional, Find Joy, A Devotional Journey to Unshakable Wonder in an Uncertain World. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Shanti Feldhange, best-selling author, brand new hardcover, gorgeous colored devotional. Pages are colored, beautiful. Find Joy, A Devotional Journey to Unshakable Wonder in an Uncertain World. Don't you want to enter into unshakable wonder? I really believe this is the invitation of the hour, friends. And when we get to, you know, to heaven forever with Jesus, in our little time, tiny, tiny time on the earth is past, I think we'll know. I mean, we'll look back and go, we have millions of years forever with Jesus. But this time here on earth is when we have faith, when we trust him, when we look for him and find him in the midst of life's troubles. So, you know, the bent of gravity, it pulls us down. But God's inviting us to look up, and we all have things for which to be grateful for. So we've got four copies of this gorgeous book to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. And Jeff writes in, he says, Petra has a great song. I've got a thankful heart that you've given me, and it only comes from your own. And this part makes me laugh. Blah, blah, blah. Or something like that, he says. But it'd be a great song for one of our breaks, and we'll have to check that out, Jeff. Thank you for that. Okay, Shanti, you say that, you know, though we want to feel joy, peace, and delight, we're not always practicing the daily habits that lead to that. Say more about that.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that practicing gratitude, for example, because that's a perfect example of a daily habit. And here's an example of how that might work. Let's just say that what's stealing your joy is a difficult relationship, because that's, I don't know about you, but for me as a woman, like if I'm at odds with my husband or like a good friend or something like that, like nothing is right with the world until that is resolved. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
No, it's true. Very true.
that can definitely mess us up and steal that joy. Well, there's an example of that in scripture. If you look at Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul actually starts Philippians 4 with an example of two women who were like pillars of the church in Philippi, and they were not getting along. And these were probably women who had had a falling out or a personality conflict or something like that. And he says something really interesting as how do you like deal with that? He says, first, here's what I want you to do. Rejoice. I'm going to say it again, rejoice. And when I look at that, I think, okay, first of all, what does that have to do with getting along with somebody? And secondly, how do you do that? Like, how do you rejoice when you're in a difficult situation with a friend or in a difficult marriage? How do you find joy? And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote that, he was in prison. Like, he was chained to a wall. The church is persecuted. What does that look like? And he says, here's how you do it. You think on whatever is lovely. You think on those things that are excellent, those things that are worthy of praise, rather than the things that are worthy of driving you crazy. And that is a habit that we have to begin to practice, where it is so hard but so essential to take our mind off of whatever it is that's going wrong, the relationship issues, the money issues, the health issues, whatever it is, very real things, and instead look, what can I think on right now that is excellent and lovely and worthy of praise instead? We just have to learn how to do that.
And if we could understand, I mean, for me, when I get a vision for what it actually accomplishes, it motivates me, because it is so easy, as you say, that bent towards discontentment. But I remember hearing a lecture from a brain scientist who had a dead tree on the stage. And then I don't know if I remember right, it was a screen. And she was talking about how when we have berating thoughts, condemning thoughts, just the negative, the opposite of what you're talking about, she said it actually causes brain damage. And she said it almost, if you picture your brain shriveling like this dead tree. But she says, when we're in the presence of joy and gratitude, and if I remember right, I think it was a video, but it showed all these synapses firing and all these brand new neural pathways being formed. So your capacity to learn, your capacity to retain information, it's like, it is miraculous how God has wired us for joy and gratitude. I mean, for me, that's motivating, right?
Totally.
I mean, because when I see what it does, I'm like, I can do this. Yeah,
I know. And I should do this. I mean, one of the funniest stories that I heard, I'm sorry, do you mind if I mention this? Because it
Please.
Just cracked me up. I actually had to put this as one of the days in the devotional because it made me laugh. There was a group of, I think, British plastic surgeons who submitted Botox to their equivalent of the FDA as potentially having an off-label use as an antidepressant. Because you know how that happens sometimes, like you have an epilepsy med and it turns out it actually like cures acne or something. Mm-hmm. And so they thought Botox might actually secretly be an antidepressant because all of their patients, you know, you do the injections to get rid of the lines and wrinkles in your face. Their patients were just, they were more positive and they had this better emotional outlook and they didn't have as much depression. And they thought maybe there's some chemical in it. Well, it turns out there's no secret chemical in Botox. It turns out Botox paralyzes the frown muscles. These people couldn't frown. And when they couldn't frown, they felt less frowny. And they felt more positive. And it's just literally, God tells us to lift our heads, to have our countenance increase. And that is exactly why he tells us that, is that it is, again, he knows this is how he's made us.
What are some of the hindrances, maybe the most common hindrances to joy?
Probably the biggest thing that we do to sabotage joy is to express discontent.
Wow.
We don't realize that it has such a profound impact, but it does. And we've all believed kind of a myth, including me. Like, I totally believed this idea that venting a little bit is healthy. You know, you let a little steam out of the kettle so it doesn't explode, kind of thing. And I was doing a virtual event, because of course everything is virtual these days, for a large public university, because they asked me to speak on improving our mental health. That's a big deal on everybody's mind. And so I asked these college students on this virtual event, I said, imagine that you've been really mistreated. Imagine that there's something that's been really unfair, for example, with a class or a professor. And what would be the healthiest response? 88% of these kids thought that the healthiest response would be to vent a little, let a little steam out, and, you know, so it doesn't explode. And it turns out what the neuroscientists have found is that's completely inaccurate neurologically. And that instead, what's actually happening when you vent a little, you complain a little, you express your frustration a little bit, it actually activates this interconnected anger system in your brain. And so a better analogy isn't that you're venting a little steam out. The better analogy is you're actually turning the heat up under the pot. And the steam is getting higher and higher and higher. And instead, what the neuroscientists have actually found is that you can completely reverse that just by refusing to gripe. And that's when you don't do that, it's like you've taken the pot off the burner entirely. And the steam just kind of goes away. Like, you're just not as angry or frustrated anymore.
Fantastic analogy about turning the heat up. You know, I remember hearing about the amygdala hijack, that part of the brain where you go into that place of absolute anger. And they say the more you give full vent to your anger, the easier it is for your brain to go there. That's why people who are given to fits of anger, they take liberties and they keep going there and they get there quicker because our bodies are so efficient to help us do what we do most often. So that's wow. And I've also heard, Shanti, that when you're getting amped up, whether it's anxiety, fear, or anger, to broadside it, where you go do something different, where you just stop and go put on a funny movie or go for a run, but just like broadside that thing and do something completely different, and it puts your brain on a different pathway. I think that's fascinating too. But here we are at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk more. In fact, I'm going to ask you to tell a story of a young woman. We're going to talk about surrender and letting go. Sometimes when you surrender and let go, you're afraid God's not going to care more than you do, and it means you don't care. But that's not what it means. Shanti's got a great story on the other side. Talking to Shanti Feldhahn, she's a best-selling author. This is a gorgeous, it's heavy, it's weighty in content and beauty, called Find Joy. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. I let that song play out much longer than I probably should have, but someone needed to hear that today. He is with us. He's God. He's Emmanuel. He is with us. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Talking to my friend Shanti Feldhahn, who's written an amazing, it's a weighty, heavy devotional titled Find Joy, A Devotional Journey to Unshakable Wonder in an Uncertain World. And she says, why is Christmas such a unique season? Shouldn't our real life be lived in that sort of glorious joy? We've got four copies. It's a $22 devotional because it's hardcover. The pages are color. It's beautiful. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. Enter the drawing by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. We've been talking, Shanti, about just the practice of gratitude, the practice of putting our thoughts on what's lovely. And, you know, sometimes when God's not giving you what you want and your heart is broken and what you want is a good thing, that's the place where true faith is found. And in that part of your devotional, you write about a woman named Sabrina who battled infertility. So say a word, if you would, about her story.
I love this story. It's a perfect example of one of the truths that God calls us to find joy by really trusting him with a sense of confidence that he has good things for us. This couple were just like kind of feeling the opposite of joy, just devastation that they couldn't have kids. And believe me, I understand that. I went for 6 years wondering if I'd ever be able to have a child. And you know, a lot of people know how hard that kind of season is. And they had done everything that you can do to try to, you know, take control and to try to do the fertility treatments and all of that stuff. And it wasn't working. And there was a point at which in their church, their pastor invited them to post prayers. There was a wall with a cross, and it was sort of a, listen, we will pray for these. Post your prayer requests. And she and her husband spent several weeks posting, please, you know, open my womb. Give us a baby. And then she really felt like there was a point at which God said, you have to surrender. You have to trust me. What will give me the most glory, basically? And they basically stopped and prayed in with a real sense of conviction that they had been praying for what they wanted, and they needed to really surrender to whatever God wanted. And if waiting would bring him the most glory, we'll do that. If adopting would bring you the most glory, let's do that. If, you know, continuing to pray that God would open my womb, let's do that. And they just said, let it be, Lord, whatever you want. And it was hard, really, really hard for that to be true surrender. Mm-hmm. But at that point, what I really loved about the story is that she said that it just, all that weight lifted off of her shoulders, because that's really the difference, right? That's where we find the joy, in that true surrender. And she felt that sense of joy welling up, even though she had no answers. And of course, because God is amazing, there was an amazing sort of continuation to the story where a few weeks later, the pastor called them into their office, called this woman and her husband in, and said that they had found that there was a young, pregnant, unmarried woman in the congregation, and they were wondering whether they'd be interested in adopting. And they were able to go to all the medical visits and be there when the baby was born. And they learned somewhere along the way that the baby was conceived right during that sermon series when they were surrendering. And wow. It doesn't always end that way, right? But we all know that God is good and he cares for us, and we have to be willing to surrender to him if we're ever going to find that joy.
Amen. I love that story and the peace that flooded her being. You know, I'm thinking of Shanti, different people who are listening right now who are very stirred up. Because, you know, the infertility thing, I've got a loved one who's battling this, and it's heart-wrenching, especially when you look around and you see people who seem to, like, they could care less about their kids, and they spit them out like Pez dispensers. You know what I mean? They look the other way, and they're pregnant. And you see these children who are neglected or not loved, and you go, Lord, these are godly people. Why, oh Lord? And yet his walk and his dealings with us are so unique. And so for them to surrender and find peace, I'm just thinking in the same way, Shanti, some are very stirred up over things that feel unfair about COVID, about unrest, about racial injustice, about the political process. But you can always tell the state of your soul when you are in knots, when you are angry and you're not in a good place. I want you to speak to the person who fears. If I let go and surrender and put my prayer to that wall going, may it be, Lord, may it be unto me according to your word, it's like I don't care and I'm going to stop fighting. What do you say to that person? Because I feel like it's an invitation for them to find some peace and some joy finally.
Yeah, and for us to recognize, my pastor actually on Sunday, he gave a fantastic sermon that touched on this exact thing, where he said, what we don't realize is that we're so stirred up that we are not shining the hope of glory within us. You know, that you actually mentioned it earlier about always stand ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And yet it's so easy, and I'm including me in this. This is not just other people out there. It is so easy, unfortunately, for us to be so stirred up and have a lack of peace that hope is the last thing that people are seeing with in us. And sometimes even it's always stand ready to give an answer for the hostility within you. Like,
right.
That's not good, right? Mm-hmm. And
but
so
we're ready for that one, though.
we're going to be ready for this. And not recognizing, not truly, truly recognizing the need to trust a great big God that has it all in his control. And that it for us, the reason that we're so stirred up is we're catastrophizing. I didn't even know that was a word until a few years ago. That's a new word for me. But we're catastrophizing that something is going to be a catastrophe, and we have to sort of gin ourselves up to confront it, right? And because, you know, if this person wins the election or this person loses the election or my daughter dates this boy, it's going to be a catastrophe, like whatever that is. And unfortunately, what that often does in our heart and our mind is confronting that catastrophe. And maybe it actually is a catastrophe, right? I'm not saying it necessarily isn't. But confronting it, we somehow give ourselves license to be unkind. We give ourselves license because we're confronting something so important to throw away all of that hope of glory. We have to put our eyes, fix our eyes firmly back on Jesus and realize that the kingdom is still here, that he is still in control. We are not going to be able to undermine his ultimate purposes in our lives by, you know, something bad happening. He is still in control. We so easily forget that.
Wow. What you're saying before, I don't know if it was before the break or a little bit earlier, though, that when we give vent to our anger, when we give vent to our complaining and vent to our discontentment, it doesn't help. It actually hurts. We're actually turning the heat up on the water and more of that comes. And I almost wonder if that's why when the Israelites grumbled and complained their way on their way to the promised land, it was like nails on a chalkboard for God, you know, because if there's one thing we don't get to do, I mean, I see him up there rubbing his temples going, I cannot deal with this and that. But the idea of like to not grumble and complain, to say, I'm going to put my hope in God. I mean, there truly is a supernatural proposition there, isn't there?
There is. And it's actually, you set me up perfectly, actually, because it's one of the other elements in finding joy, because we had actually identified what are some of the main things that run through both science and scripture when you're talking about what are the habits. And one of those habits is to actually remember what God has done for us in the past as a way of having confidence in where he's taking us in the future. And that's what the Israelites constantly forgot, right? That's why they were grumbling, is because they completely forgot. Oh, yeah, there was that Red Sea thing where he parted the water. Oh, yeah, right. He's given us manna every morning. Right, right. When you forget that, that is often where the grumbling and complaining comes from. And I love, 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 love the story in the Old Testament right after that season of wandering through the desert and grumbling and complaining. God says, okay, it's time for you to take the promised land. It's time for you to cross over. And they've been looking forward to this for so many years. And now they're probably 2-3 million strong. And he tells them to go cross the Jordan at flood stage with no bridge. Like, yeah, how's that going to work? And he does this, again, miraculous thing where he backs up the water and they walk across on dry land, and he says, okay, in order for you to remember, I want you to pick up some big old stones from the middle of the river where you walked across on dry land and pile them up and make a cairn, you know, a big pile of stones, so that when you get into the next hard thing along and you're having to fight the giants in the land and maybe the crops don't always grow the way you want it to, or you have to, you know, walk around the walls of Jericho, like whatever the stories are, and you're worried and risk complaining, you can look at that pile of stones and go, right. God did this amazing thing. He'll do an amazing thing again. Oh. That is another key thing to finding joy.
Somebody give me an amen. I know we've got lots of people texting in for the book, but once in a while, Shanti, I ask for an amen and people text one in. Somebody's got to give me an amen. That's an amazing story. And Shanti, I love this, this dear listener. I'm so weepy. I'm so moved by people who struggle and who find God in the midst of it. And this dear one says, we have a similar story from the one that you told. Husband and I have been married 9 years, no kids. Last January, I finally realized that I need to let it go and give it to God. Well, guess what? I'm due this January, the same time of the year that I surrendered the past year. And she says, my song is Yet I Will Praise You. Oh, isn't that amazing? Praise
gosh,
God.
Gosh, it just makes me cry.
I know. I get so weepy on this show. I love these listeners so much. When we come back, let's talk about our heir status. Let's talk about delighting in our weakness, a couple of those things. And as we get ready to go to break, Karen writes in, I do give thanks to God for the rescue of my wayward daughter. I believe he's pursuing her. At the same time, I know he won't force her. It's her choice to reject him or be open. How can a mom be joyful with eternal consequences of that? Father, I pray for Karen. I pray, God, you lift her chin, you'd awaken her heart. And Jesus, be the hound of heaven and go after that girl and get her and bring her back to the fold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be back in a minute.
Make way to the
thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I'm listening to that song, and my prayer for you, for all of us, is that as we enter 21, even though, you know, who knows what things will be like, we've got this pandemic we're dealing with, we've got a lot of wounds in the nation to heal, but will you just believe with me? Will you stand in faith and believe in so many of the ways we knew heartbreak in 20, will we see answers to prayer in 21? That prodigals would come home, finances would be restored, bodies would be healed, lives would who are lost would be found, saved, and activated in the kingdom. What if we just lift our expectancy and just trusted that God is about to do something amazing on the earth today? I'm believing for it. Talking to my friend Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti, I want you to come on once a month. I think we'll talk off the air, but I would love to have you come back
right.
regularly. You're so precious, and you've written another fantastic book. The title, it's a big, heavy, weighty, hardcover devotional, Find Joy, A Devotional Journey to Unshakable Wonder in an Uncertain World. It's wonderful. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Okay, in the chapter titled Heirs and Children, you write, we probably know in our minds that God loves us so much that he died so we could be saved. But do we truly grasp in the depths of our being the unconditional vastness of God's love for us as his children and heirs? Do we live in the daily consistent joy and awe of having been welcomed into the forever family of the King of Kings? Come on, somebody. Say more about that if you would.
We just do not always live that way, do we? I mean, it changes everything when we do. And I just want to bring in a response, but just a note for the woman that you prayed for before we went to break, okay, who was so worried about her prodigal daughter, right? And this is related to that. I in a different devotional, not this one, in a different one, I tell a story that just has stuck with me over the last couple of years of exactly that kind of a situation where there was a mom who was so worried about her son, who was such a prodigal, and she had been on her knees, on her face, praying for her son. over the course of years and years. And one day she had this dream that felt so real. It felt like God was just speaking directly to her. And in the dream, he caught her up kind of off the earth. I know it sounds kind of funny, but like as if she was flying from the earth and out into space. And he showed her like the vastness of the distance between, for example, the earth and the sun. And then the vastness of the distance between our solar system and the next nearest solar system, billions of miles apart. And then the next one and the next one and the vastness of the Milky Way. And then past our galaxy and into other galaxies. And he sort of showed her all this. And he said, I hold all this together by a word of my power. Can I not take care of Mark? And it just, it totally shifted her thinking of, you know, you talk about the fact that we are heirs, we are children of this magnificent, huge, mighty, unable to be comprehended God who holds the universe together by a word of his power. He can take care of all things that concern us.
Amen. 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 I'd love for you to share the story in your devotional titled Delighting in Your Weakness. You tell the story about the time that you were scheduled to be on the Today Show.
You're going to bring back twitchy bad memories and good memories at the same time.
But you're really good at looking above it, so just go ahead.
No, this was one of those cases where, you know, when we talk about finding joy in crazy circumstances, this was a perfect example because I had been trying, this is going to sound so horrible, but I've been trying to get on the Today Show for years with all of the, you know, the different books that I had written. And it sounds crazy that like, who am I that I should expect to be invited on the Today Show? But still, you know, every time you release a book, a publicist tries. And I finally, after, I can't remember, it was probably my seventh or eighth book, I finally got an invitation to be on. And it was like, this was the culmination of years of hoping. And I suddenly got laryngitis. I flew up to New York, and by the end of the day, I literally couldn't talk. And I get laryngitis, unfortunately, relatively regularly if I have a cold. And when I have a completely no voice, and this was an example of completely no voice, not even croakiness, like literally nothing would come out. When that happens, I know that it's usually about 2.5 to 3 days before my voice comes back. And I'm thinking at 6:30 in the morning, I have to show up to the studio for the Today Show.
For a national show.
For a national show that I've been like hoping and dreaming about for so many years. And I put out a email to my prayer team and said, please pray. And here's the sort of the moral of the story. I wasn't stressed. I was excited because I knew God was going to have to do this crazy miracle because there was no other way that this would be solved. So I was so excited. I know it sounds nuts, but I was so excited to see what God would do. And so I walked up to the Today Show, went into makeup, and of course the producers are all alarmed because I'm, you know, I have no voice, and I'm like, it'll be okay by the time that I get on air. And I'm like,
I know you don't know me, but
I know you don't know me, but I promise it'll be okay. And I'm like, I had no right to say that, but I just had this incredible sense of excitement that God was going to do something amazing and supernatural. And sure enough, he did. I literally walked out on set, met Meredith Vieira, and my voice was perfect. Like, you can even go on my website and see the interview. It was perfect. It was absolutely clear. There was no problems. I did the interview completely on my newest book, walked off set, walked out onto the sidewalk, and my voice went away. And the reason that that still speaks to me years later is that that's an example of trusting God with confidence that he is going to do something that we can't do, that it's not in our control to do. And that is this platform for having this unearthly sense of joy that God wants us to have.
You know, it really is a difference between hope and hopelessness, because if you picture you've got this scenario that you can't do anything about, you can either sit back on your haunches and go, this is hopeless because I have no control over that other person. I have no control over fertility or whatever. I have no control over whatever. So you sit back and go, hopeless. Or you can rise up and go, I have no control over this, but God is sovereign. I belong to him. He's a miracle working God. What might he do in this situation? I mean, there's something about that active waiting, not a passive biding your time, but an active expectancy going, any day now, I'm going to see God moved. Isn't there? I mean, there's something powerful about that.
There is. Well, and that's what he asks us to do, right? I mean, that's his challenge to us. That's the hard thing. I will wait and see the answer that my God will give me, right?
Yeah.
When something is really difficult, but I'm going to stand here and trust and believe that he's going to give me an answer. And it may not be the answer that I want. Like in that case, I feel like God was giving me the faith to sort of go, yeah, trust me. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to happen. This don't freak out. Don't cancel. Like this is something you've been praying for. I'll do this. But there may be cases where the answer is something different. And that's where we get into having to say, oh, all right, Lord, all right. You know, I believe that you are that great big God, that all things are going to work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And you've got something good for me, even when I can't see it, even when it's hard, kind of like even when it's 2020.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I think, you know, the stories you shared, there's a common denominator. It's peace. Follow the peace. And you think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know, patience, kindness, and it goes on. But that is how, I mean, you stick with the peace of God and you will not, he will not lead you astray. So for that dear gal, the scariest thing in the world for her to say, I'm surrendering all of it, Lord, I want a baby, but you know, your will be done, not mine. And peace flooded her soul. And then it gave God room to work, you know? And I just think if we can pay attention to the peace and follow the peace, seek it and pursue it, we will know joy more often than not.
And that's what he wants for us. Just to circle back to what we said at the very beginning, that sense of living in that moment where heavenly wonder is invading the world at Christmas time, that sense of real life holding its breath, that sense of having that unearthly, supernatural joy, that feeling of joy that's in the molecules of the air at Christmas, that is what God wants us to live in all year long. That is what he delights in giving us. It's just, it is true. We have to pursue it. We have to practice it. It's there for us. Even when things are bad, the whole point behind joy is that it is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not happiness. We're not making ourselves happy and then we're unhappy when something doesn't go right. This is not dependent on our circumstances.
Yeah. Remember, I had Holly Girth on a while back, and she battles some anxiety and some depression at times, and she asked God one day, why does the devil keep going after my joy? And she said, the Lord whispered back, he's not so much after your joy, he's after your strength. He's just using your joy. And I just thought, wow, I mean, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the practice of seeking peace and pursuing it, of saying the joy of the Lord is my strength. The cupboards may be empty, yet I will rejoice. I mean, that really is a superpower, isn't it?
It really is. There, that sense of that supernaturalness of it is really also what we have to come down to, which this is something that he's handing to us. He'll help us find. But it is supernatural. It's not something that we can just kind of gin up. It's not like I'm going to force myself to feel joy. This is instead something that he's told us how to get there, what to pursue. But it is a supernatural work that he does in our heart when we pursue it.
Well, Shanti, I really mean it. I want you to come back again and again. Wow. I want to read as we're getting ready to wrap one more excerpt from Shanti's book, Find Joy. To live in continual awe and wonder is to grasp his awe and majesty. It means noticing, remembering, and being grateful for the wondrous things he does for us every single day. Rather than focusing on our very real challenges and worries, it means coming to hear him, know him, trust him, even during insecurity, heartbreak, and loneliness. It means letting that joy within us shine out for all to see. I hope you found some encouragement here today. We'll leave the drawing open for a few more minutes. Look up, walk joyfully with your Savior. Others are watching, and it really matters. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.